Do you want to be happier at work? Then check out the book, Happier at Work. It's by MBA-degreed company coach Gail Van Gils, who is a meditation and mindfulness teacher as well. Well, good morning, Gail.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Tell us about yourself, Gail. Tell about the path that has led you to being able to write a book to help people be happier at work.
Yeah, it's an interesting combination of sort of left brain, right brain. I do have a background, an extensive background in practicing meditation. I was first introduced to it right out of college, and I've been practicing it for decades since, and I've become a senior teacher in our lineage, which is called Shambhala. And I've been teaching meditation. When you say you're teaching meditation, they're not just teaching people to sit. You're teaching people, or I've been teaching people, to apply it to their everyday lives, sort of human development and leadership training. So that's within that context of the spiritual side. Then I've been working in business for decades as a life coach, as an executive coach, as a trainer, as a teacher, and a consultant to help with company culture. And so the two things have come together because at this time in history, it is recognized that mindfulness is actually one of the important tools to apply to what's going on in business, to the disengagement and to the falling apart of systems that were based on control and now need to be based on something other than that for the millennials.
Now, mindfulness is the key word in there. If somebody is not familiar with the concept, tell me about mindfulness.
Well, mindfulness is really the ability to choose to pay attention to what you're doing. That's sort of the simplest way you could say it. We have this ability within us to pay attention to what is actually going on. But what happens in our mind is we're often either ruminating on the past or the future. We're filled with regret or reliving something that already happened, or we're wishing and hoping and rehearsing something that we think we'd like to have happen or that we fear may have happened. But you can't actually do anything unless you're present to what's happening. So mindfulness is the ability to be present, and mindfulness training is training your mind to have this ability to come back to where you want to place your focus.
Now, what a powerful skill that is. Our minds go running all over the place. And as you say, the future and the past and all this noise, how do you concentrate your attention on the moment?
Well, it's not so much concentrating, it's noticing that you've wandered. So the practice of mindfulness is really quite gentle. You choose, in the case of the type of practice I offer in the book, there are many short little applications of it, but the basic practice of mindfulness is, let's say we pick our breath as our intended focus. So you begin by sitting and becoming aware of the feeling of your body breathing. So now you're tuned into that. And when you're breathing, you're in the present. You're in your body. You're in the place that you're in. So that is a present moment experience. And then you're going to notice at some point, probably sooner than later, that you are no longer paying attention to the feeling of your body breathing. You're off in a fantasy. Well, once you notice that, you're already back, actually. You notice that you were thinking. You may even notice what the content of your thoughts are. And without any judgment, you bring yourself back to the breathing. Well, repeated over and over, that becomes a new habit, the ability to notice where you wandered to and the ability to come back. And it actually builds a new network in your brain.
You know, that's very relaxing. As you were talking, I was doing that, and I find myself calming and just feeling nice.
Well, I mean, there's nothing stressful really about the present. You can do something about the present. The stress comes from worrying about things.
Talk about the ways that you can put that to work in the workplace.
Well, one of them would be to actually set an intention to be present. So if you literally would like to be present more of your day, you would like to be more effective, and you would like to be less stressed, you have to decide you want to do that. And you can do that in many different ways. You can set little reminders to yourself, like in your calendar. the time comes up, 10 a.m., and it says, are you present? And you just remember to come back, like coming back to your breath. Also, you can shut off reminders and distractions. You can, when you're sitting down to, let's say, write a proposal or do a particular task that requires focus, you can turn off all of your alarms, you know, the things that start flashing across your computer. You've got mail and Facebook notices, and people are wearing watches that buzz, or your phone starts binging, and all of those things pull you away from the present moment to something else. So you can pay attention to the distractions and limit them. And you can also go to a quiet place to do work if you need to. Find a spot that's away from the hubbub, and you'll get more accomplished.
Let's see. I have your book here, and I'm just kind of flipping around in it. And you have micro practices. Here's one.
Yeah.
Micro practice, noticing the effects of gossip. Reflect on a recent negative conversation you had with a colleague about someone who was not present for your exchange. How did that make you feel? How did that negativity affect your mood and work performance? Did the negative feelings linger? Micro practice, am I gossiping?
Yes, the book is filled with little, small, real world things you can do to increase your awareness. So mindfulness is also about, as I said, awareness of where your attention has wandered, awareness of what you're doing. And when we do things that make us feel bad, such as gossiping, we may not be paying attention and noticing that, ooh, there's a kind of feeling in our body and a kind of negative hangover from it. And if you pay attention to that, you'll stop doing it. And gossip is one of the worst things that spreads a bad mood at work.
So
because you feel bad, and then the people being gossiped about feel bad.
So you can use a practice of mindfulness to inform interactions with coworkers. You can use it in running meetings, I read in your book. You can use it in coaching people.
Yeah, so in meetings, one of the things you can really do is mindful listening. So mindful listening is having an open mind and really allowing yourself to be curious about what another person is thinking and feeling. And don't assume that they're either for you or against you, but try to understand their point of view, which can open up fresh ideas, new collaborations, and a totally different atmosphere in a meeting. And what was the other part? Meetings and
coaching people.
Coaching people. So coaching is also like that. Coaching is a way of listening to someone to hear the wisdom in what they know, as opposed to try to giving them advice. So in a conversation with someone who's coming to you for help, you can try to pull out, well, what is it that they have already thought about? What is it that where they're tending to go with their thinking? And so you include them in the process. And people just want to be noticed. People want to be included. They want to feel that they're making a meaningful contribution. All of this contributes to a happier workplace.
Talk about compassion for yourself.
Well, no one is harder on you or me than ourselves. We are our own harshest critics. So when we do that to ourselves, we are really creating stress within our own being. Where it's almost like you're yelling at yourself, and you're shutting down as a result of that critical analysis of what you've just done or what your abilities are. So you can train yourself to be more gentle, to be kinder to yourself, to see a thought that comes up and realize, that's a thought, that's not me. Or, I made a mistake, that's how I'm learning what to do next. And so if you can be kinder to yourself, if you can be gentler and relax and allow yourself to not be afraid to make mistakes and to reach out and try new things, then you are like a mirror to others. You can allow them to make the mistakes they need to make. And so if you're harsh on yourself, then you're harsh on others. So this is a really important step in creating a happier workplace.
You know, I'm really lucky, and I know it. I have great admiration and regard for the people I work with all up and down the chain of command here at iHeartRadio Portland, including all my bosses. But I haven't always felt that way all of the years I've been in this industry. I haven't had this problem for years, but how do you use these concepts to handle a boss that you cannot stand?
Well, it is challenging. And there, as you know, there are times when I'm not going to say you can make everything feel good. And there are times when you may have to leave your job, but assuming it's not that bad. Again, a lot of what's going on from the other person is the boss's own insecurity and view. So the boss that is really mean or really critical or really harsh is often really just afraid that they can't do their job well. So the only way they know how to manage is through fear and control, because they're trying to control their own fear. Even understanding that can help you feel a little better, maybe actually generate some compassion instead of anger towards the person. Now, that doesn't solve the problem, but it helps you with your attitude. Another thing you can do is have the courage to figure out for yourself what changes you need to have with your boss. I mean, how would you like them to treat you? What job responsibilities would you like subtracted or added to your job description? And try to have an honest conversation with the person. If things are bad and you try that, it can probably get any worse. So you can at least take the steps to show an interest in doing a good job and show them that you're really trying to make this relationship work and see what happens.
Gail, do you have a website where people can find out more and maybe pick up the book?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can go to happieratwork.com, and that will take them to the book page on my website, which is a longer URL, transformyourculture.com. And they can also type in my name, GailVanGills.com. So any of those three ways will take you to my website, and happieratwork.com will take you specifically to the book page, where you can click on a link to buy the book and also download a free chapter and check it out.
That's the writer herself, Gail Van Gills, the author of Happier at Work, The Power of Love to Transform the Workplace. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you so much.